Morning, all.
Morning.
So, Merry Christmas, Happy New Year. I trust everybody had a good Christmas. Yeah, anybody wearing their new clothes, their new stuff? Anybody wearing new stuff? All right, so if you would turn with me to Revelation chapter 2, what I'm going to share with you today is what I'd say in the past couple weeks that God has been teaching me, being that this is the last Sunday of the year. One of the things that I do every year, I don't know if other people are in the habits of doing this, but you kind of like look at the year that just went by. You make the list and say, okay, what did I accomplish? What didn't I accomplish? And then you set some goals for 2019. So in my time with the Lord, I had started doing this and just kind of like looking back, okay, like what changes have happened? What things have happened over the past year? Changes in my life? What things have I done? Have I grown since last year? Have I matured at all? Have I gotten worse? And so as I was doing this, the Lord brought my attention to these scriptures. And these are the scriptures I want to share with you. And I think God has challenged me with them, and I would like to challenge, at least share that challenge, and you can take it wherever the Holy Spirit leads. But we're going to start in Revelation chapter 2. Now, if you were here this morning, you heard Revelation chapter 1 read, so you got the preface already. But we're going to start reading in chapter 2, verse 1. It says, "Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, These things saith him that holds the seven stars in his right hand, and who walks in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know your works and your labor and your patience, and how you can't bear them which are evil, and how you have tried them which say that they're apostles and they're not, and you have found them to be liars. And you have borne, and had patience for my name's sake, and hast labored and not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against you, because you have left your first love. Remember, therefore, from whence you are fallen, and repent and do the first works. Else I come to you quickly and remove the candlestick out of its place, except you repent. But this thou hast, that you hate the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him that overcomes, I will give him to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God." Can we pray? Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for always talking to us. We thank you for your Holy Spirit, who is our teacher. And Lord, I pray that your truth might be brought forward, and I pray that you would work in our hearts today, and that we would hear exactly what you would have for us to hear and nothing else. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So this revelation, what this is, what we read in chapter 1 earlier this morning, but this is the Apostle John. And the Apostle John was basically sees a vision from God, and he's hearing from God, and he says, I want you to write letters to these seven different churches, which are in Asia. And this is one of the churches. Ephesus is a city. If you remember in the Bible, the book of Ephesians, that's the same church that we're talking about. And so he writes this letter. And it's basically, if you look at it, and if you kind of get the flavor of it, it's kind of like a little bit of a report card. And I think this is where God was drawing my attention to, as I'm going over 2018 and all the years past, and I'm kind of saying, okay, I did this, and this. And, well, how did I do, God? Give me a grade. What do you think? I know what I think, but what do you think? And so this is what God goes ahead and he tells the church at Ephesus. And if you notice in the verses that we read, that they actually get a very good report. If you look at verse 2, he says, I know your works and your labor and your patience, and you can't bear those that are evil. And some people said that they were apostles, and they were actually liars. So, great job. He knows their works. He had patience. And to the point where it says in the next verse, where they actually have suffered for Christ's sake, and they've endured that suffering, and they've had patience. So, I mean, they're doing a lot of good things. And if we go back and you go back even to Paul's letter to the Ephesians, and in the next couple months, I know we're going to go through the series of Ephesians here, so I'm looking forward to that. And we're going to go week by week and verse by verse through Ephesians. But when you look at Ephesians as a whole, is a pretty good book. I mean, they had a pretty good established church there. It's not like you look to the letter to the Corinthians where they're doing this wrong and they're doing this wrong and they're doing this wrong. And Paul had to address a lot of sin that was going on in that Corinthian church. But here in Ephesians, when he first writes that book to the Ephesians, the first half of Ephesians is all about, we read a lot this morning in chapter 2, the first half is all about God's plan of salvation. And how God had brought both the Jews and the Gentiles together in salvation and where everybody stands. It's a beautiful picture of salvation. And then the last half of the letter to the Ephesians, he's talking about godly living. And you should be doing this, and you should be doing this, and we should be doing this. So if you read the last chapters of Ephesians and see all the things that they should be doing, that's a letter that they received before they got this report card. So as we go in the next couple months, or if you've read Ephesians before and you look at all the different things he says in the last couple chapters of how the Ephesians should be living, and then they get the report of this, where they're saying, where God says, listen, I know your works, and they're great, they're good. You've had patience, and you've forbeared through this, and you've done a great job. So to me, that's a great report card. I mean, I got an A. So I get that, put that up on the fridge. See, I'm the kind of guy that I'm very task-oriented. That every day, I mean, I carry around a pad, and every day, I mean, I make a list. And I check things off the list. Because when I put that check mark next to it, there's a feeling of accomplishment that I get from that check mark. I'll do the same thing if I have a day off at home, and I've got stuff to do around the house, I just start making a list. And the more I can check off on the list, the better I feel. But it's a list. It's a list of things to do. And then the things that get left over carries over the next day. So when I'm looking at these things, I'm looking at the list. And so for the Ephesians, they could be maybe a list people, if you will. Maybe, maybe not. But when it comes to those last chapters in Ephesians where, well, I want you to live honorably, I want you to stay away from this, I want you to go ahead and do this, I want you to go ahead and do this, that they can take that and they can say, yeah, check, 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 check. They got a great report card. But he says in verse 4 here, nevertheless, I have somewhat against you. Ooh, okay. So a little, you got the part on the report card that says needs improvement where? Well, this is that needs improvement. He says that you have left your first love. What does that mean? You've left your first love. So I'm doing everything right. I'm coming to church. I'm opening. I'm volunteering in Sunday school. I volunteer at Vacation Bible School. I do the soup kitchen. I help my neighbor. When I have the opportunity, I'll tell other people that I work with or whatever about Jesus. I mean, I'm staying away from sins. I'm only watching the movies that I'm supposed to, you know, that aren't bad. I only listen to certain music that's not bad. I'm doing all the right things. I can check all this stuff off, right? But I left my first love. Well, what does that mean? And by the way, just as a disclaimer, the movies and all that other stuff, there's nothing in Scripture on that. God, that's between you and God, and you just go ahead. I'm not going to go ahead and tell you shouldn't be watching certain things, or the TV's evil or anything like that. We're not going there. But it's between you and God. But the thing is, what here for the Ephesians, he says, you left your first love. Some Bibles say, the New Living Translation reads, that you do not love me or each other as you first did, as you did at first. You do not love me or each other as you first did. Well, why is this a big deal? Now, you might have heard this, but when you do something or you have a goal, and most of you maybe some of you might have a goal setting of, you know, health-wise. You want to go ahead and you want to go on a diet on January 1st or after January 1st, maybe January 2nd, after the partying and everything's over. You're going to go on a diet, okay? We're going to go ahead and do that. Now, Now, I've tried this a couple times, I got to admit, definitely tried it a couple times, and, you know, by January 3rd, we're done, okay? We're off, but why are we off? And I'm reading these books, and I'm trying to find out, well, why didn't it work for me? Well, one of the reasons that they say is that it's because you didn't have a purpose or a reason or a motive or a why that was bigger than yourself. Like, if I want to go on a diet, and I want to go on a diet because I want to look good. Most of you are already saying, I know what you thought in your head. You're already there. Don't worry about it, Brian. I got it. But you want to look good. Well, if I only have the purpose of wanting to look good, well, guess what? As age comes and the wrinkles and the kinks in the back and stuff like that, it's not going to stay with me. And it's not going to happen. And I'm going to lose it. I'm going to lose that drive because I'm trying to push it on my own. But if I have a goal or a desire or a motive that's bigger than myself, such as, listen, if I don't get healthy, I'm not going to be around here for my family. And I want to make sure that I'm healthy. Well, that's a goal that's outside of myself. It's a motive that's bigger than myself. If I want to go ahead and be healthy, I want to go ahead and be healthy and strong so that I can go ahead and serve others, so that I can go ahead and help in the church because I know that there's a need there. Well, move the chairs around, whatever. That's something bigger than myself. They say in the hospital when somebody has an illness or the terminal that the people that have the desire to live are the ones that they'll make it through. And they have a desire to live not just because they want to be here, but they want to go ahead and be with their family. They have others that might be depending on them. They have that desire outside themselves, that motive outside themselves. You think of finances. Well, some people that want to be rich just to be rich, well, guess what? That's a motive that's just in yourself, and that's going to fade away. But if you want to be a good steward of what God has given you, if you want to go ahead and change your family tree and you want to be responsible with your money and you want to be able to pass things down to your family or you want to support your family properly, well, those, once again, those are whys, those are motives, those are purposes that are bigger than just you, in which case that helps you along. Now here, even when it comes to the Christian life, you think about the Christian life, and we go back to the Ephesians, you think about them. Now they're doing this, 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 and this. And what was, God was focusing in, he's saying, what is your motive for doing this, 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 and this? What is your purpose? If it's just so that you look good, well, then that's a motive inside yourself. If it's just so that, you go to church or you go to the meetings or you go ahead and volunteer just so you don't look bad or because it's an obligation, it's something that you feel that you have to do, well, once again, you're doing it so you look good, so you can save face, and that's just another one of those things that it's a motive within inside yourself. But God is saying that I want you to do it because you love me. You left your first love. You forgot why you were doing this. See, Christianity isn't a list of things to check off. Christianity is a relationship. And I think we know in relationships, we all have some kind of relationships, whether it's friendships or spouses or children or whatever. And when you have a relationship and you're not working towards building that relationship, we might think, well, it just goes stagnant. Well, there's only two ways a relationship can go. It doesn't stay. It's either it grows closer or it grows farther apart. And I think we know that from experience. It's relationships, they never stay where they're at, but you say distance makes the heart grow fonder or whatever, but if you don't work on a relationship, if you're not talking with an individual or communicating with an individual over a period of time, you don't end up growing closer, you end up growing farther apart. And when you run into that person again or something like that, then it's like a little harder to share because your lives are now going different ways. And so God is explaining to them, listen, you're doing all the right things, but you're forgetting why you're doing it. You're forgetting that this is about you and me. And this is the purpose of why you're doing this. So as I'm reading this and I'm seeing what God is saying to the Ephesians about what they're doing in their relationship, I had to relate it to me. And I had to ask myself, am I guilty of this? Am I just coming to the meetings to come to the meetings or because they're obligations? Am I doing vacation Bible school, or if I go into the Bible studies, or am I helping my neighbor, or am I preaching the gospel, or whatever it is? Am I just checking those things off, or am I doing it out of a love relationship with God? So remember, because God is the one who started everything when it came to a relationship. We were lost. We're a lost people. We're the human race. We end up sinning. We break off that communication with him. So what does he do? He decides to take the first step. He loves us that he sent his son. He dies on the cross for our sins. He takes the punishment for our sins. And that's where he goes forward. Any decision that he has made, he does it out of love for us. And then he's saying, well, what about you? Now, this isn't something that you might be thinking to yourself, well, okay, do I do things out of love for God, or do it just to look better, or do it because I think it's the right thing to do? You might be thinking already, okay, this is something I might have to work on. But you might still be thinking, well, I don't know, I think I'm okay. But here's the thing. Nobody else is going to be able to come up to you and tell you, yeah, you're doing this out of the wrong motive. I mean, maybe they will be, because like say if we have to move the chairs around, and then you're moving the chairs, you know, say we got to move around the chairs for service or something like that, and you move around the chairs like this, whatever, you know, and you're just slamming it down. Okay, well, that's a good indication you're not doing it with the right motive. So sometimes the way we think or our purposes comes out the way we feel, comes out by the way we act. And so if you're acting like that, there's a good chance that's a good indicator you might want to check your motive. But a lot of us are good at hiding our motives, aren't we? A lot of us are good at putting on that glass or that facade, if you will, and we're able to go ahead and act nice, dress nice, we look nice, we'll say hi, how are you, but something else is deep inside. And so we can go ahead and we can fake it pretty well. And I think as the older we get, the better we are at faking things. Well, some of us just like don't care and we'll just let you know how we feel. but some of us are very good at faking it. And so the only way to find out is if this is you, is for you to spend time with God. You need to get quiet with God and ask him, is this me? Do I do things as a checkoff list? Or do I do them because I love you? Now, don't get this confused, too, with some of our obligations. Like, because you think about it, it's not like every time I go ahead and do this, okay, it's time to move the chairs. Oh, I love moving the chairs for my brothers and sisters. Okay, I'm not talking like that. We're not going to, like, go overboard. Because there are some things that we end up doing, and we do them out of obligation, but our obligations are there because we love one another. Hence, like, I go to work every morning. I don't want to go to work every morning, but I do get up to go to work because I love my family. And because I love my family, I need to provide for them, so I'm going to get up and go to work. So it doesn't mean it has to be something that's fun, but it's going to be something, but I'm going to do that out of love for them. If you have a crying baby at night, moms, you don't want to get up and deal with a crying baby every night or more than once a night, but you do it because you love the child. You love that baby. And so you're going to get up and you're going to go ahead and tend to that baby because you love that baby. Caring for a sick relative, same kind of thing. Cleaning out the bucket after the relative just got sick. Those aren't fun things to do. They're not things that we go ahead and desire and say, oh, I love this so much. That's not what we're talking about. But what we are talking about is why are we doing what we're doing? In Hebrews 12, 1 and 2, you don't need to turn, but it says, looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the Father. It says, Jesus, who for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. The cross is not fun. It's not something he wanted to do. We hear that in the Garden of Gethsemane. If this be your will, Lord, Father, have this cup pass from me, but not my will, but your will. But for the joy that was set before him. You know what that joy was? Is the relationship between him and the Father, the relationship between us and him. He did it. That was the joy. It was set before him. It was placed before. It might not be on your mind all of the time, but for him, any decision that he made, it was out of love for us. That's what the Father did. Any decision that came upon us was because he did it out of love for us, not out of selfish ambition, not of anything else except for that he loves us. And so as he's challenging the church at Ephesus, as he's challenging even myself or you, it's, why are you doing these things? Is it because of yourself? Because you want to look better? Because you feel it's the right thing to do? Because you think it might have better standing when you walk into heaven? Or are you doing it because you love him? So how do you get back? Okay, say if just like, okay, this might be something I have to address. Well, what do we do? Let's look at what he told the Ephesians to do. Verse 5. He says, "Remember, therefore, where you've fallen from, and repent, and do the first works." He says, remember, repent, and then do the first works. Remember, repent, do the first works. Or remember, repent, and repeat. First of all, remember. Remember what you did at first. When you think of you had a friendship or you have the relationship that you might have with a significant other, you think of, remember the first works. Remember when you first met them and how you always wanted to talk to them. You were always thinking about them. There was joy every time they walked into the room. And it was just like, now are things a little different? Why are things a little different now? Or when you first had that friend, like why did you want that friendship? There was a reason you wanted that friendship in the first place. Maybe you thought the person was cool. You wanted to be their friend. You liked how they are. You liked how they treated you, and so you wanted to be their friend. And you go back and you remember why. For the Ephesians. So what was this? What is remembering the first works? We have to remember, like, why we were saved. If you go back to the letter of the Ephesians, what we were reading this morning in Ephesians chapter 2, remembering where we came from, remembering that we were sinners, and that we were saved, and we accept this by faith. But then we also have his indwelling Holy Spirit, where he helps us through the day, that he hears us when we go ahead and pray. And all of this, if you have that relationship with him, you know that what I am saying is true because you have that relationship with him. I know it was mentioned this morning that, you know, it's funny that God has never done this, but he's never taken us, and he says that he saves us from the punishment of sin, and he's never taken us, and he's never dangled us over hell and says, okay, this is what I'm saving you from. We have to accept that by faith. And I've always thought, like, why hasn't God done something like that? Wouldn't I appreciate it more? Wouldn't a poor person that comes into money, wouldn't they appreciate it more when they come into money versus somebody that was always well off and then they just came into more money? Wouldn't they appreciate it more? Or somebody that has always struggled with health problems and all of a sudden they're healthy, wouldn't that individual appreciate that health more? I mean, so why doesn't God do this? I've been thinking a lot about that. I don't have all the answers, but I can tell you one thing. It's probably because of fear. He doesn't want us to love him and accept him out of fear. But he wants us to love him and accept him because he first loved us. And every decision that he makes with us and why he decides to do things is because he loves us. 1 John 4, verse 19 says, "We love him because he first loved us." As I was looking at this and remembering, I had to remember, okay, what was it like when I first met Jesus? And I had a picture of him maybe like this big. And now I think I have a picture of him like this big. As I continue to read the Bible and I look at all the things he does and I see him a little bit in my daily life, I think the more time I spend with him, the more I see him in my daily life. And he gets bigger and bigger and bigger. The more time, it's just like the more time you spend with the relationships that we have on earth. It's, you might have an acquaintance where you first got to meet an individual and you had that first interaction and you got to a little bit know them a little bit, like where they worked or where they lived and what they liked and disliked. But as you continue to spend time with them, you learn well, what makes them tick? What their true likes are? What their dislikes are? What causes them to go haywire, if you will? What causes them to get angry? I like pushing those buttons. What causes them to get sad? What causes them to get happy? What jokes they like? What jokes they don't like? And the more time we spend with God, we see the same thing. So he says, remember. Then he says, repent. Now, repent, when I think of the word repent, it's just like repent. You hear like the preachers preaching, you know, you repent, you need to turn away. Repent means making the 180, you're going in one direction, you're going to do a complete 180, turn around, and you're going to go somewhere else. Repent, that Greek word, actually means to change your mind. Romans 12, 1 and 2 says, I beg you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And don't be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you prove that which is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Repent to change your mind. He says, first of all, I want you to remember. Remember what you were like when you first met. But now I want you to change your mind. Okay, what does it mean to change? Why do they have to change your mind? They're doing all the good things, right? Ephesus, we're going back to Ephesus. They're doing all the things that they should be. But now he wants to change the way that they're thinking. He wants to renew their mind. Well, what does that mean? I did something just recently for Christmas for my wife where... My wife, you ever read the five love languages? Like everybody has like different love language. Some people like to be touched or hugged or whatever. Some people like to be, I don't know all the five love languages, sorry. But read the book. I think it's Gary Smalley. But I know my wife's, and that's the important one, all right? So my wife's love language is words of affirmation, meaning she likes to be encouraged. She likes to hear that. And when I hear that, her love cup is filled. Okay, another one, just remind me, one of my daughters is spending time, spending quality time with it. I just need to be there with one of my daughters. Her love cup is full. She just likes being there. I don't need to say much of anything, but if I just do something with her, her love cup is full. She just loves spending that time. She actually just did something and it gave me a gift, and it was all about spending time with one another. And I was thinking that's her, that's great. But my wife was words of affirmation. I think I'm words of affirmation too. So I decided, because this time, that I was going to give her like a little journal. And I am not very good with words when it comes to complimenting. I kind of grew up in the home that that kind of said if it's something physical about you, you shouldn't pick on it, nor should you compliment it, because God's the one that gave it to you. But you can go ahead and compliment accomplishments, if you will. And not that that's true or that's something that should be followed, but that's what I grew up with for a while. And so I never complimented my wife the way she, you know, how beautiful she is or how she looked or anything like that. I just kind of like left all that stuff alone. And so now I'm trying to get better at it. And as I'm getting better at it, so I decided to buy this journal. It was a blank journal. And I decided to start writing down things that I was thankful for in her, or things that I saw in her. So I had done this for a couple weeks. And as I started doing it, and I would just do like one or two a day. And as I started doing it, I noticed that my mind was changing. She noticed a change in me too, and she, of course, I didn't tell her what was going on because I was going to give it to her for Christmas, but she started noticing a change in me too, where it was actually coming out of my mouth, and it's like I saw a little opportunities, and I was complimenting her, and I will tell you that our relationship, we got closer. I was just like, this is pretty good, and I knew this was starting to happen from the journal, from how I just started every day. I just started writing down something that I was thankful for. And so I began thinking about that and like applying it to, this is a method that anybody could go ahead and use, but it's something I encourage you to do. This is something that I have now started doing. As God has challenged me with this, I need to change my mind about God. And so every day I do have a journal, and I've tried to, and I can't say that I'm faithful every day, but I've started to try to write things that I'm thankful for about God. And I know that just like it changed my earthly relationship, that this will also change my relationship with him. Because as we dwell on the things that are good and are true and are about him, it changes the way we think. And I will tell you that it truly changed the way I thought about my wife, and then it changed the way I felt about her. And then from there, it changed the way I acted. As I said different things, as I did different things. And this is the way God has made us. It's the way we think about things is the way we feel, and then we'll act out upon that. And so I would encourage you, as God has encouraged me, to go ahead and do some kind of practice like that. To go ahead and spend the time, when you spend time with him, just thank him for who he is. God is exhaustible. I'm not going to say the right word, but you can never get enough of God. We'll just put it that way. He's so big that he's not like an individual where you can never figure out people sometimes. Well, you're never going to figure out God because God's infinite. And he's the one that created us and made us as complicated as we are. And he's got us figured out. So you can just imagine we're never going to figure him out. And there's always something to learn about him. There's always something that he will show us of how much that he loves us. And as we do that, as I start to journal about how much he loves me, that verse in 1 John 4:19 starts to happen where we love him because he first loved us. I start to see how much he truly loves me, and in response, I love him. If you turn with me to Philippians chapter 4, Philippians chapter 4, and we're going to start in verse 6. Now, some of you might know these verses because if you're like me, I worry about a lot of things. And so I always go to these verses, and it says in verse 6, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." I love those verses. I go to those verses all the time. He says, don't worry about anything. But when you pray or you supplicate, and that's praying a lot, when you pray, always have thanksgiving. And then what does it say in the next verse? It says, the peace of God will rule your hearts. There's that peace that surpasses all understanding. It's a peace that people can't explain, but it's there. But I want you to look at the next couple verses. And this is, I never saw this before. Verse 8, it says, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is any praise, think on these things. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me do, and the God of peace shall be with you." And the God of peace shall be with you. See, when you just pray about the things with thanksgiving, you have the peace of God that rules your heart. But when you start thinking this way and meditating on and just meditating and thinking over and over about the things that are true or lovely or good and those things that God has done, who God is, because all of the good things and the true things or whatever comes from him, what does it say? The God of peace shall be with you. There's a difference between the peace of God and the God of peace. Now you have, it's a relationship thing. The God of peace will be with you instead of just his peace, the peace of God. And you see that relationship build. And that's the key when it comes to Christianity, that this is not a list of things. This is a relationship. Remember, sometimes it's going to be hard work to build, or it's hard work for any relationship. As we mentioned before, it's either the relationship is growing closer together or it's getting farther apart. And we know that there are times where when we have a relationship, and they might be the person that we get along with the best, but there's something that sometimes it happens and we end up clashing. And what do we do when we clash? Do we just say, okay, forget it, that relationship is lost? No, we work at it. And we work at that relationship, and we work something out, and there's compromise, and there's love, and it takes hard work. It takes self-control. It takes sacrifice. And once that happens, and then the bonds are even stronger than they were before. It takes work for a relationship. And God wants us to work at that relationship. And remember, he did. What kind of work did he put in to have that relationship with us? He wants us to put in work in that relationship as well. And that's what he's encouraging them to do. That's what he's encouraging us to do, to work at that relationship with him. Not just to coast, not just to go ahead and live our lives thinking that this is all there is and that it's just about this and doing this and doing this and doing this. No, it's about a relationship with him. So he says, remember the first works. And he says, repent, change your mind. And then he says, then do those things, or repeat. Repeat the first works. Repeat the actions that you did before. Now, if you remember back, and as you're spending your time with God, and you figured out that, okay, well, what I used to do is I used to get up every morning and I used to read my Bible, even if it was just a little bit. But now it's just like too busy. I can't do it anymore. But you know what? You got to do that again. You got to make the time. You got to work at it. It's going to be hard work to go ahead, because you probably got more things pulling at you now than you did back then, and you have to work at it, and you have to do that. If that's what you did before when you first met God and you fell in love with him, then do that. If it's something that, well, I used to take walks every day and I looked outside and I thank God for the sunshine. I thank God for the weather. I saw his creation and I loved him because of that. Well, if that's the case, then do that. Then make a point of doing that. Do the first works when you fell in love with him. If it's a matter of you getting together with other believers and you talked about him, and you talked about how thankful you are when you first discovered how much he loved you, well, then do that again. Even if they don't bring it up, make an effort to go ahead and talk about the goodness of God. And listen, it's one of those things where you just have to do it. You know, Nike, just do it. You can't blame others for what you're doing or what you're not doing. You are in control of your own destiny. You are in control of what you do the next moments, tomorrow, whatever. God has placed that on your lap. You can go ahead and make the decision to go ahead and, well, listen, God, I know I'd love to get up early and go ahead and do this, but I mean, there's too many things pulling at me right now. I have to get up early for this. I have to stay up late for this. I can't do it. Yes, you can. Just do it. Just figure it out. Do it. Because it's not about a list, okay? It's not about getting everything done. You make the time. You work. It's going to take hard work. You make the time to go ahead and build that relationship, the most important relationship that you'll ever have. Well, God, I want to go ahead and love others the way you want me to. I know that because you love me and I love you back, that you want me to love others. This is what Jesus says to Peter. Remember when Peter denied him three times, and at the end of the book of John, he says, Peter, do you love me? And yes, Lord, you know I love you. Then feed my sheep. And he says it three times, and we won't get too much into that, but there is specific instruction that when we love God and we're showing God love and we're remembering that motive, that we have to deal with people. We have to deal with his sheep. We have to deal with one another. And so that if we truly love God and that's truly our motive for doing these things, then we need to feed his sheep, which is his church, which is his people. And we have to deal with people. And so when it comes time and say, Lord, I'd love to deal with your people, but your people that you've placed me in, the church that you've placed me in, they're a little difficult. I have a little trouble with them sometimes. I don't necessarily like the way they do such and such. I don't like the brown chairs with the blue rug. I don't like it. I have trouble with that. But once again, you're blaming others for your actions. You're in control of how you respond. You know where God has placed you. You know where God wants and who he wants you to deal with. You know, if everything was easy, how are you going to learn to love? It's easy to love easy people. But how are you actually going to learn? That's why God always places those people in our lives, the people that are a little harder to love, because he's using them as sandpaper to smooth us out. So when it comes to loving, yeah, you're going to have those people, those difficult people. Don't blame them. If they were like this, don't look for that supreme situation, because it's not going to happen here on earth. We just do it. We do the first works. We do what we did when we first started. We remember why we did. Well, I did this because I love God and I love his people, so therefore I'm going to do it. Sometimes we have to go above and beyond what we think is necessary. I remember there was one time that I knew I needed to get back in the scriptures. It had been a couple days, and I hadn't had time, my time with the Lord. And if I don't have my time with the Lord for a couple days, you can ask my family. I'm not nice to be around. I get cranky really easy. And it's because, you know why? Because I'm starting to do the list of things, and I lost my focus. I lost why I'm doing it in the first place. And I lost what life's about. I forget that this is what life's about. And I forget, and if I'm not spending time with him and God's not directing me and I'm not focusing, then things go haywire. Well, for a couple days, I'd been a little haywire. And then it was just like, I got to get up early. I got to stay up late. Well, what's going to happen? Well, I just did something crazy. And I was just like, I woke up at 2 a.m. and I was like wide awake. And I'm like, well, let's go have Bible time. So for like an hour, I just read my Bible and went right back to sleep. And it was just like nothing ever happened. But it helped. It's like, who would think about getting up at 2 a.m? I tell you, I needed it. And I know my family was very thankful I did something like that after dealing with me. But it might have to be something crazy. It might have to be something out of the ordinary, because you know what? The enemy pulls every which way to go ahead and attack that relationship that you have with him, with God. And he will do everything in his power. He will make you busy. And we all know that. Life just gets busier and busier and busier, doesn't it? And this is as a distraction. You think because of fast food and drive-thrus and microwaves and all of this stuff that's supposed to make things so much more efficient for our life that we're going to have more free time. Well, guess what? Nobody has more free time now because of all this stuff. I mean, we can go back to farming and we still won't have the same amount of free time as we had all this stuff. Supermarkets and all this other stuff. God knows, and Satan knows too, and he tries to fill our time, making us busy. Sometimes things need to get a little ridiculous. When you think about the water, Jesus, when he turned the water into wine in John, well, what did he tell the servants to do? Fill those water pots with water. Well, why am I filling with water, God? I mean, we're out of wine. Water's not going to help. But when they were obedient, they were rewarded. When Moses was in the wilderness and they didn't have any water, and God says, okay, Moses, I want you to hit the rock. Well, we're in a dry desert, God. Why would I hit a rock with a stick? I mean, what's the point? When he did it and he obeyed, they received water. When Elijah was in with Elisha, it's one of those prophets, Elijah or Elisha, forgive me, I don't really remember at this point, but in 1 and 2 Kings, it's a story in one of those, in that scripture, where the woman who was running out of oil and she was about to go ahead and eat her last meal because she was so poor, she obeyed God and she went ahead and got all the jugs from her neighbors and borrowed everything. Why would she do that if she only has this much oil left? And then the oil never ran out and she was able to go ahead and provide for her and her son. Sometimes God has us do something a little bit ridiculous, but when we're obedient to him and say, listen, okay, God, I want to do the first works. I want to go ahead and do what you want me to do. And it might be something a little out of the ordinary, but I'm going to go ahead and do it because I want to be obedient to you, because I value the relationship. I know you value the relationship, but I value the relationship too. And then we go ahead and do something and God will reward us for it. Then we will come back to our first love. So my encouragement to you today is spend some time with God. As you're looking over 2018 and you're looking at all the things that you've done and you look at your list, why did you do the things that you did? Is it something that you could work on, like I know I need to work on, and remembering my motive, remembering my why, remembering, do I love the Lord? Am I doing these things out of love for him? Or is it something that I need to the love for him, my relationship for him, is something just like Jesus did. I need to set it before me. Set it before me so that I know the purpose. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time that you've given us to open up your word. I pray once again that your Holy Spirit would be the teacher and that you would have go out and your word and would be received the way you want it to be received. Lord, I thank you that you did a lot of work for your relationship with us. I thank you for that you were the one that initiated that. And Lord, I thank you for the encouragement that you've given me and hopefully others and hearers of your word, that you would encourage us to go ahead and make sure that we don't just do things and do our list of things to do, but we remember that it's all about a relationship with you. Lord, help us to work on that relationship. Help us to spend that time with you. May you allow us to see the pathways that are needed in our daily life to go ahead and work on that relationship with you. Lord, we thank you for who you are and just how you are, and that at any time we come to you, no matter where we're at, that you accept us with open arms. Lord, we thank you for who you are. We thank you once again for this time, and we say this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.